Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Yes, even though live is in the name, this program has been pre-recorded this week for a number of reasons. I'm Will Stevenson. Nonetheless, very glad to be with you on this Saturday morning. Partly because it's a holiday weekend. Who wants to be here on Saturday morning? I'm just kidding. I'm glad that you are with us on this Saturday morning. It's since we're doing a lot of interviews due to COVID-19, socially distanced or on the phone these days, it's easier to get folks at a much better time. In this case, the day before Saturday morning. So we're talking on Friday, but we're airing it on Saturday, and we're glad to have you. Coming up in about an hour at 8:15 this morning, we'll talk about the various impacts the Galesburg School District has dealt with due to COVID-19, along with some other matters with Tiana Cervantes, the president of the Galesburg School Board. I think it might be her first Galesburg Live appearance, so we'll be glad to talk to her in about an hour. But first this morning, we are going to talk about what's happened in the city of Monmouth since COVID-19 broke out, and some other matters. A lot of good things were happening in the Maple City before, quite frankly, it seems like things may have come to a screeching halt because of the pandemic. But I know a lot of good things are still happening in the Maple City, so we're pleased to talk about all of that this morning with Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies, who is on the line from Monmouth this morning. Rod, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Will. Good morning to you.
Very glad to have you this week, for sure. Let's start right off at the top here. I can't imagine that, even though I imagine the city had a plan in place to try to deal with some of this, but I couldn't imagine that it would affect you guys to the extent that it has, right?
Yeah, we're all... units of local government are dealing with this. The impact on the small businesses is going to be tremendous. It certainly is going to impact the revenues of all of our units of government, and it's really difficult to see these small businesses in the region really struggle with having to be closed up and all the limitations on what they're trying to do to run their businesses.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, and we'll talk about that and some other things as we go along more this morning. But let's go back maybe, I guess, to the beginning of March here. That's when things really started to, I guess, happen, and one of the first conversations we had was on this program, kind of with the health department here trying to explain what COVID-19 was and things like that. And that was right around the time that the governor started to issue orders and urge people to wear masks and things like that. How soon or how early, I guess, were you aware of the potential of this pandemic, and what kind of started going through your mind when you became aware of it?
Well, I think pretty much like most folks, I thought it might be something we would deal with for a month or so, and we'd move on, and that we would figure something out and figure a way to get through it and get things going again. Unfortunately, it certainly hasn't turned out that way. I certainly in the beginning did not anticipate the impact it would have on a lot of our local businesses, what our projected impact is on our future revenues, and certainly what we're going to have to do to cope with that and deal with it. And then as we move through it, certainly the impact at the Smithfield facility and, everything that they were running into there as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll talk about that too as we go along here. Was it one of those things, as you said you were thinking about, that maybe it might only be a problem for a month and then things would be okay? Was it one of those things where you thought to yourself, maybe the city can handle this okay if it's just a month, but then it went into 2 months and now we're in the third month of this? I can't imagine how how dire you might have thought things might have become over time.
Yeah, I certainly, certainly in the beginning did not anticipate that this would be 3 months, and then we're still obviously not able to get things running as, you know, the impact on everything, schools, businesses, everything is revenue streams to schools and governments and all of that. Yeah, we certainly didn't anticipate that, and we've got another 20, after the we reach the governor's date, I think it's May 29th, we've got another 28 days before we hope that we're able to go to the next phase and open up a little bit more. We're certainly hopeful we'll be able to continue to move forward here. It certainly is going to have a tremendous impact on our revenues at the government level, certainly with restricted businesses and restricted sales and sales tax revenues and home rule tax and all the other things that go along with that.
How did you talk about this with residents? And I ask because early on here in Galesburg, Mayor Pritchard came out early on and urged people to wear masks when possible, wash hands as much as you can, socially distance, stay at home as much as you possibly can unless you absolutely need to go out. Was that kind of what you were telling residents too early on?
Yeah, we sent out kind of a community-wide letter and got on the local news media and talked about, you know, encouraging folks to follow the governor's executive order, follow the CDC and our local health department guidelines, trying to do everything we can to, you know, follow the rules and minimize the impact on all of us. We certainly didn't want anybody in the hospital or you know, even worse, certainly passing away from this illness.
Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies is our guest. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll pick up our conversation with the mayor as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning here at WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. Galesburg School Board President Tiana Cervantes joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, but in this hour, we are continuing our conversation with the mayor of Monmouth, Rod Davies. Rod, how soon when you perhaps, I guess, maybe realized that this would be a longer-term problem than just a month or so, did you have to start thinking about how this would long-term impact, A, the city budget, and B, city operations?
Sure. You know, like everyone else, we closed down our city hall to try to protect our residents and our staff, but we were still available during normal hours to by phone, and we were still handling citizens' concerns, complaints, and directing them to the proper department to be handled. About a month ago, we sat down and with our administrative team and really started thinking about the numbers and, you know, really talking with a lot of colleagues in the region, mayors and administrators and folks at IML, and really started to understand that, you know, this was going to be a significant loss of revenue from the city's perspective, never mind, you know, the terrible impact it was having on the local businesses. But from the city's perspective, what we had to deal with is what we were anticipating to be about $1 million shortfall on our budget. And we were, you know, like every other government, we're struggling just to keep a balanced budget and kind of be balanced at the end of the year. So we didn't have a lot of revenues in excess of expenses at any time in the recent past. So we knew that we were going to have to start talking about furloughs and things like that and cost-cutting measures to try to manage and work within that anticipated shortfall.
And I know that was a concern because in all the years that I've known you as mayor of Monmouth, you've really worked hard to try to to try to right the financial ship, or at least keep the financial ship of the city righted as much as you possibly can, you know, building up reserves, but trying to be reasonable about expenses and things like that, haven't you?
Yeah, it's always an ongoing struggle in small town West Central Illinois. You know, we've had made some great progress in building our tax base with the expansion and growth that we've had in the recent past, and so we were, you know, really had some pretty good momentum going. And just before this hit, we had a number of our business leaders that had kind of formed together in a new group here in Monmouth called MOVE, Monmouth,
yeah.
One Voice for Everyone, and we'd had a lot of things going on and a lot of interest, and those things are still going on, but, you know, it's while we're excited about them, we're still concerned about, you know, them being able to really take off and get off the ground like you'd hope they would and they would hope they would during these difficult times.
Yeah, I one of the things I was thinking about was the effort that you've undergone in the last year or so. You've worked with an outside firm, I guess, to try to look at ways that you can revitalize your downtown, and I can't imagine that those plans now are the same as they might have been last year, right?
Right. Well, we've got a new nice restaurant and brew pub that are getting ready to open when they're allowed, and you know, in the old patent block building, we've had some renewed interest in the old Spurgeon's Term City building in our downtown. We just had a brand new business called the Tin Cup that is opening as best they can under these circumstances, with coffee and pastries, and I think they're doing carry out lunch, and they have merchandise there. And then we've had some folks looking at the old Glass Tech's boat factory, or Howard Medical, where they used to make medical gloves.
Right.
And, you know, we've had some interest there. And then, of course, they're going great guns out at the Love's Travel Stop. And, in fact, we have the road completely gone. 11th Avenue is gone from D Street to the bypass. They're putting in water and sewer extensions, and that we're going to turn that old road into a new 80,000-pound road for the semi-traffic. And so, you know, those things are moving forward, thank goodness. But, you know, the enthusiasm is tempered by the struggles we know that others are having.
How difficult is it to try to, I guess, maybe work with some of these businesses like the Tin Cups, the new restaurant and brew pub rather on the square in Monmouth, and I think we saw some of it here in Galesburg too, that there were all these new businesses proposed or cropping up and things like that, and then this happens, and then I imagine a lot of those developers or interested parties are going, oh great, now what do we do?
Yeah, no, it's retailers are, you know, in every community are, you know, adding the online component to their business. I know a couple of them in our downtown are added the online aspect and doing some drop-off and delivery services, things that were unique and different to what the way business used to be. I think we've all had to adapt and change a little bit, and it's amazing, you know, these entrepreneurs, small business people are quick to do that.
Yeah.
We're trying to, now with the next phase with the governor, we're working with our local restaurants and bars and on how we're going to set up this outside seating and to keep everyone safe, maintain our social distancing, you know, stay in line with ordinances about barriers when consuming alcohol and food outside, and, you know, all the things with that. But we're working with that, and I think we're trying to help those businesses get going here and as you know, based on the governor's guidelines and the health department. And so we've certainly been busy the last 2 days getting those things out and trying to help them get started again.
Did you make changes, temporary or otherwise, in order to allow, like, some of these restaurants and other businesses to do the sort of curbside pickup type of thing that's been encouraged here the last couple of months?
Yeah, we certainly talked with them and made sure that they were, again, following the governor's guidelines. But, yes, we certainly did try to help them as best we could and they could to you know, certainly get that going and try to help them with, keep their business going as best they could. But yeah, no, we were there helping them and supporting them and ask the folks in town to do what they could to get by and drop, you know, see them and get some things picked up.
Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies is our guest on Galesburg Live. We need to take another break for news and weather, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what's happened in terms of city operations related to COVID-19, and we'll pick back up on some of these other issues as well. But news is next as we continue on this Saturday morning. I'm glad you're with us at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Coming up in our next hour, Tiana Cervantes, Galesburg School Board President, will join us to talk about the district and COVID-19 and her story as to why she's even on the board. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next hour. But this morning, we are continuing our conversation with Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies. Again, Mayor Davies, thank you again so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Will. Always like visiting with you and talking about Monmouth.
I greatly appreciate it, and we love to talk about Monmouth every now and then here on our programs on WGIL. We've been talking about COVID-19 and how it's hit city operations. You anticipated early on, you said earlier, maybe $1 million hit in the city's budget at this point. Is that still the case, or how has that number, I guess, changed over time?
Well, at the moment, we feel that's still a, unfortunately, probably a pretty accurate number. There's always a 2 or 3 month lag between, when we actually receive the revenues from the state and, you know, the month that it really shows up in. In early March, we were still getting some Christmas season money. You know, the December, January money was from sales and so forth, that, you know, the delay in getting it from the street, from the state is 60 to 90 days, or sometimes 120. So we've been a little bit behind that. We're starting to see certainly the drop-offs starting to really being realized. And
those sales tax revenue and things like that?
Yeah, home rule tax, sales tax. Income tax, those get distributed and based on a per capita on our share, and the excise tax, and all of those things that corporate personal property replacement tax. Those are all things that come back to our area based on sales numbers and income numbers, and so the state keeps a portion of those, During this time, just before the budget, the governor did hold back an additional 5% of our local distributive shared revenues. So that was another impact beyond just the COVID-19 impact.
Did you get any indication that you might get some of that money back at some point that's being held up?
The indication was if the progressive tax were approved, then we might be seeing some of that 5% additional that was withheld make it back our way. But as of now, it's my understanding that's a ways off yet.
How concerning is that to you? I guess it doesn't. Maybe I'm crazy, since the progressive tax is a supposed fair tax, according to the governor. That I guess some of this just doesn't seem too particularly fair to me.
Yeah, no, it's
am I sorry I asked?
maybe I am. Yeah, no, I guess I don't share that view, and when I look at it and see the potential impact based on, you know, my day job as a CPA and working with a lot of small businesses and taxpayers. I guess I'm just not seeing that.
Got that. I know in Knox County, the couple of due dates for property taxes have been pushed off a little bit to try to help residents. Do you know, is that happening in Warren County too?
I believe they will be late again this year because of this. I think they've had some administrative issues there at the courthouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're hopeful those come out. You know, the you know, we fund our local public safety pensions through property taxes largely. That's the largest percentage of our tax bill that goes there, and so we need to get those funds into those funds so they can be invested and do their job.
Is the reception of property taxes going to end up being problematic for you as well?
Like I said, I have not heard an official date. I guess I'm anticipating sometime in August or September.
Yeah. Okay.
For the first distribution, which normally comes, you know, sometime in June or July.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's probably going to be September.
So we're looking at a hit to the budget that's at least $1 million. It could be more. It could end up being less. Who knows, I guess. But let's talk about, unfortunately, what you've had to do in the near term in terms of cuts. I think probably the most obvious thing that we've heard and we've reported that's happened is you've had to lay off some city staff. And I know that's not a decision that you make lightly.
No, not at all. When you start negatively impacting folks that have been your employees and part of your team for a long time, it's very difficult to see them have to be furloughed for a period of time. We're going to try to help them with their health insurance and with all of the programs that are available right now with the state and federal unemployment, and some of those, which the federal unemployment increases is pretty new because of this, and the waiving of the wait periods. It was, you know, we felt that it would kind of mitigate some of the loss of income to these families. It, again, and especially if we can help them with their health insurance and. But, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to do that. Again, we don't do that lightly or take it lightly. I'm hoping as we meet, as the state legislature is meeting now, that they're talking about maybe some help for local governments. I hope that's comes to pass.
Yeah.
But at the moment, again, we haven't really heard or seen anything yet.
In terms of the layoffs, that was something that affected both public safety and public works, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about our public service officer, two police officers, three dispatchers, and then we had two firefighters that were in the academy getting ready to be able to fill shifts for us, and we couldn't continue that with them. And then, fortunately, our public-private partner, Woodard and Kern, has really stepped up, and I know they had some planned retirements, and we're not going to fill those spots right now. And we did some other cost-cutting measures with them, you know, assigning more duties and doing some things, and cutting some temporary help and, you know, summer help, and just, you know, we're looking for, you know, putting off purchases, capital purchases like squad cars and other things, you know, things that everybody does.
Woodward and Curran manages your water plant, is that right?
They do all of our public works.
Right, okay.
They do water, wastewater, and then our streets.
Oh, good. I got it partially right, at least.
You bet. Yeah.
That's good. Are you hoping that you'll be able to bring some of those positions back sooner rather than later, or do you have a projection on that as of yet? I imagine it's probably pretty hard to determine at this point.
Yes, it is. It's kind of, again, we don't know the exact length of time that we're going to be, you know, things will be curtailed. We don't know the exact impact. I mean, there's no playbook for anybody on this,
yeah,
unfortunately. And it's, you know, we obviously watch the finances all the time. And again, some of it will depend on, you know, if there's any help either from Springfield or Washington for local governments to help us offset or overcome some of this shortfall. If that happens, then, you know, we'll certainly monitor that, and, you know, maybe we'll be able to modify those plans. We certainly hope so.
All right. Mayor Rod Davies is our guest. We're going to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll ask about the governor's proposed reopening plans, the issues with Smithfield Foods, and more. And hopefully we'll try to get to some other positives as well as we continue with Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll talk with Galesburg School Board President Tiana Cervantes. In the meantime, we have one final segment with Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies. Mayor Davies, I couldn't imagine how concerned you must have been when issues started coming out related to the Smithfield Foods plant and the number of cases that cropped up there. What are some of your thoughts on that whole situation?
Yeah, well, I really want to give credit and compliment the management team, both at our Monmouth plant and Smithfield's corporate. I think they'd learned a lot of things from some earlier incidents at their other plants, and they were very quick to put in some really strict measures here at our local plant. And we've and those certainly have been working. Last week we had 3-4 days with no cases, and this week we've had a couple of zero cases. And
yeah,
most all of our cases have resolved, and we had one hospitalization and no deaths, thank goodness. And
yeah,
so we felt good about that. And so a lot of the things that were happening there, the extreme measures they took, putting up the barriers, the constant sanitation, the workers wearing face masks and shields, and all the things, checking of temperatures and testing, you know, the dividing the break areas and staggering shifts and doing a lot of things to minimize contact. And I would say it certainly worked. I know they worked with CDC early on. I think they were learning a lot of lessons, and everybody certainly paid attention to what was happening at other places. And I think they did an outstanding job. And you can't thank the folks who work there and you know, went to the tremendous effort to put all these safety measures in place. And, you know, it had to be extremely tough, and still is for all of them there.
Absolutely. And I imagine it was probably critical to have them put all those measures in place and come back online and start working again as quickly as they possibly could, if for no other reason than Smithfield has become a pretty important part of the community and a real big supporter of the city.
Oh, absolutely. They were in the midst of the a voluntary 2-week shutdown to take care of the workers and take care of help getting some of these changes in place, mm-hmm, for worker safety and food safety and everything else. And they and then everyone was called back to work a week later through the executive order by the president. And, boy, they just came in and worked, got it working, and really have done very well since then. And, we sell them 1.5 million gallons of water every day for processing, and we treat about 1.5 million gallons of waste every day for their operations. And it's certainly, when you employ over 1,700 people, that's a pretty significant impact in itself over the region. And I know they've been donating a lot of food both to our public safety workers and to the food banks, and they're really trying to help everybody in the area that have been impacted by this.
Yeah, that's great that they've still been able to do that, and I think in many respects great that they were able to come back, as you mentioned, as quickly as they were, although it was met with a little bit of resistance by some of the workers themselves. Was that a concern of yours? What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I know they were out there talking with those folks, and I think there were concerns of, they thought they were going to shut down for 2 weeks, and it turned out to be one. And, what new things were going to be done to protect them and keep them safe? And I think once they had that, I know they were talking out there in with those folks, and I think they got that resolved in fairly short order. And after that, everything seemed to be working well, and we didn't have any other incidents.
That's great. Mayor Pritchard here in Galesburg has, I think is frankly on the record, and that may be putting it loosely, as not a fan of Governor Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan for reopening the state in quadrants and things like that. I think he likes another plan that a Heart of Illinois, Central Illinois group is putting forward that might move things up a little quicker, but potentially move backward if a problem or another outbreak sort of arose. What are your thoughts on the governor's plans at this point?
Well, I mean, we certainly wish that we could move this thing along faster. We did not endorse any other plans. I think the governor made his position pretty clear that he felt his plan was a solid plan and that he was going to stick with it. And we certainly respected that. And so we went about our business to try to figure out if there was anything we could do to support our businesses that were closed, or if there was any way we could help them. I know the city took upon itself to be the pass-through agency for a couple of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grants that were available to businesses. And we've worked and facilitated a half a dozen applications for our local businesses. We've, asked them to get involved in those, in the other programs that are out there, the Paycheck Protection Program and EDIL and some other small business administration loans and programs, and tried to do what we could to get, help them out. But it's, we wish it would move things along. We feel that, like I said, the zero cases, but we certainly understand, too, that this thing can turn around, and none of us wants to see a return or a second wave of this that causes things to be shut down even further, certainly. So we hope that people continue to be careful, practice all those social distancing things and washing their hands and being careful and taking care of themselves.
I have a couple of minutes left, so let's talk about some maybe things that are still going on regardless of COVID-19. What's happening these days in the city in terms of infrastructure improvements and things like that right now? I know you had a lot of pretty big plans, and I imagine you probably had to revise somewhat because of all this, but at some point, as they say, time marches on.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard for people to reconcile that some of these projects were funded by special funds, some grant funds and some other special use funds like our TIF funds.
Yeah.
TIF funds are restricted for TIF projects, and that means downtown, and it means, that those things can't be used to, to pay people's, wages and benefits. It's very specific. And our we're getting ready to start, I think, a couple of community development block grant projects.
Yeah.
We got and are funded, and So again, it's hard for people to reconcile. We're laying people off, and yet we're going to put in some new water and sewer and fix up some roads. And again, those are all restricted use. So those things are hard to hard to explain sometimes. But we do have some community development block grants going. I think we have a couple of downtown TIF projects with some buildings that we will be hopefully the owners are willing to go through and provide the match and do the things they need to do to get those. And like I said, we still have two or three businesses that are talking about opening, and we just received some word that our housing project, 44 new housing units, is going to is moving along through its process. So
great.
We're hopeful that we got some positive feedback there. So and we're applying for some other grants through DCEO that we feel we're very well positioned to receive. So I mean, on the other side of the coin, we certainly are continue to look for opportunities, and we continue to promote Monmouth and the things that we think are good. And we just had a new restaurant to purchase the Sirars that have been in for a while, and so that will be they have plans hopefully for a fall opening if everything progresses and moves along and we can open things and. We're excited about that opportunity as well.
And you have that, and as you mentioned earlier in the program, the construction of infrastructure and everything related to the new Loves on one end of town. That's gonna be a pretty big thing for you.
Yes, it is. It'll be a significant driver, and they're hoping to have that open and ready to go in the 1st of August. So they've been working 7 days a week on that project, and it's really been on a fast track. And they have really, really made some great progress on that. So it'll be exciting to have that open and maybe get the revenue associated with that coming our way so that we can hopefully minimize this furlough time. So
yeah.
I'd say that's always been my goal, is to build Monmouth's tax base, add and create new business, and support and expand our current businesses, and in order to give us an opportunity to pay for all the things that we have to here.
I could probably talk more with you about all this stuff, but we are out of time. Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies, thank you so much once again for your time this weekend, and hopefully you're able to recover from the pandemic here sooner rather than later, because you're doing a lot of great things in the Maple City, and we look forward to catching up with you about them in the future.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Will, and unfortunately it sounds like we won't be meeting this summer for the car show, but maybe somewhere down the line we'll get to catch up.
We'll have you back on one of our programs for sure. Mayor, thanks again.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Monmouth Mayor Rod Davies on Galesburg Live. And when we come back after news, weather, and sports, Galesburg School Board President Tiana Cervantes on Galesburg Live.